Welcome to the podcast for Church of the Nazarene. We invite you to subscribe to this podcast for the latest updates and new episodes. You can also search for our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, and TuneIn. Make sure to join us each Sunday at 9 on Facebook Live. Our in-person service times are 9 and 10:30 a.m. in English and 11:45 in Spanish. Also, Celebrate Recovery meets each Monday night at 6:30.
Well, I don't know about you, but I have some pretty vivid memories growing up playing some pretty intense games of Monopoly. Now, maybe that's not your thing, and that's okay, but this is not my original Monopoly board because there's not, like, tears and blood and stuff on, you know, but, like, seriously, I remember growing up as a kid playing Monopoly, and I wanted so badly, to beat my dad. I didn't care about anything else when it comes to Monopoly. I just wanted desperately to beat my dad, and I'm here to tell you I never could. I remember one time I had my hotels here, and he had some stuff set up, you know, and he rolled the dice, and his little guy was coming down here, and he landed on my hotel, and I looked across, and I saw how much money he had, and I knew how much he owed me, and I thought I had him. And he pulls out from his sleeve an extra couple $500 bills that he was hiding, you know. And I was like, no! I scream out. And to this day, I don't think I ever beat my dad at Monopoly, ever. I did figure out as I got older, he got older too and slower. So I could beat him at things that required like speed and skill, but never at Monopoly. But there's a truth here. There's a truth here in this game. Because this game is really about acquiring and accumulating, right? The more stuff you acquire, the more properties you build, the more money you accumulate, you win. And you gloat and celebrate as others cry in their defeat, right? And you win. But here's a really a powerful truth that I want to start with today. When the game's over and the victor has done their little speech and dance and celebration and all the losers in the room, I know what that's like, right? They've cried their tears. Something true about every game, it all goes back in the box. No matter how much you've accumulated, how many hotels you've got, your big enterprise, all your 500, even my dad, he's got them stuffed hidden places, you know, when the game's over and the winner has been declared, it all goes back in the box. We're in the midst of a series. It's called Regret Prevention. Regret Prevention. And here's the point of our series together, really twofold. First of all, what do we do with our regrets? And we started this series talking about that powerful truth. We all have regrets, but we have a choice. We have a choice in what we allow, how we allow the Lord to help heal the regrets from our past. And last week and this week, we've been talking specifically about avoiding future regrets. Avoiding future regrets. Last week, Pastor Margaret shared a powerful truth with us. It's here on the screen. Regret number one that we talked about last week was this. When people come to the end of their life, more often than not, one of these two regrets is present. The first is that I would have loved more deeply. I would have loved more deeply. And this week, we're going to look at the second of these two regrets. I would have given more generously. One of the greatest challenges that we have in life is that we want. We want bigger. We want faster. We want more. We want better. We are raised, many of us taught that wanting is good. And every day we are faced with, no, not hundreds, thousands of advertisements telling us, reminding us, prompting us, prodding us to want more and want more. And the irony of that, though, is that many people, when they come to the end of their life, their deepest regret is not that they didn't get enough, but they didn't give enough. For many of us, at the end of our life, our deepest regret is not, I wish I would have wanted more. I wish I could have accumulated more. If I only would have gotten that and that. No. At the end of life, when it all comes into perspective, one of our greatest regrets is that I didn't give more. I didn't give more. Because no matter how much they got, no matter how much you accumulate, no matter how much you spend your life wanting and wanting and wanting more, the truth is for all of us, when it's all said and done, it all goes back in the box. It all goes back in the box. So, What does it mean? What does it mean to be generous? What does it mean when we talk about, I wish I would have given more generously? We see for God's people, generosity has actually been the standard from the beginning. But the problem is we think of generosity, and you might think, well, I'm a 20% tipper. And sometimes I get a lot, I even round up, you know, so I'm the 21%, right? Or you think generosity is about, you know, supporting charity. Good things that we should do. I love charity. That's good. But sometimes when we think of generosity, that's what we think of. But if we actually look at God's word and we look at God's standard, his standard is much more of what we would probably call a radical generosity. Radical generosity. This is who God is. This is his nature. This is his character. To know him, is to experience radical generosity, and the foundation of the church itself was founded on sacrificial generosity. The book of Acts, chapter 2, I have the verse here on the screen, but what is the book of Acts? It's this movement of God. The church is being born as Jesus was resurrected and then ascended back into heaven, and then tells them, wait for the gift of my Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, they receive the Spirit of God, and the church begins to happen. It begins to break loose. And here in Acts chapter 2, we see just a snapshot of the DNA of these early Jesus followers. What was it like? What was their DNA? What were they about as a believer in Jesus Christ? Here it is, Acts chapter 2. You see it on the screen. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This community of believers was characterized by radical generosity. Radical generosity. They gave to anyone who had need. Anyone, right? They practiced incredible hospitality by welcoming others into their home. I love that it says that they ate with glad and sincere hearts, not with grumbling and pettiness, right? They had joy in their hospitality. This was the DNA of those who first called themselves followers of Christ. Generosity. Generosity. There's other biblical examples. Paul, who of course is the apostle of Jesus, he was part of this Acts chapter 2 movement. He would go on to write to a church in Corinth. And he wrote in 2 Corinthians 9, you can refer to it later, but he speaks this blessing over them. And as he speaks this blessing over them, this church of believers, he prays that God would bless them, but get this, he prays that God would bless them so that they could be generous on every occasion. He doesn't pray that God would bless them so that they could have everything they wanted. He doesn't pray that God would bless them so that they could have a good life, whatever in the world that means. He prays that God would bless them so they could be a blessing to others. You see, the principle of the day, Greco-Roman culture, the principle of the day was one of reciprocity, which is a really fun word to say, but what does that mean? It's this principle that says you are to give in equal measure to what one has received. So it makes a lot of sense, right? Whatever I've received, I should give in equal measure. You understand that, right? Because that's what happens at Christmas, when you get sweaty and nervous because you know they're going to get you the fruitcake that they give you every year that you don't want. And you have to give in reciprocity. So what in the world am I going to give them? Or you're sending Christmas cards to people you don't even like because you know they're going to give you a Christmas card, right? That's not you, though. I know that, right? We understand that. But that's not God's definition of giving. Because Paul, when he speaks and bids farewell to these leaders in Ephesus in the book of Acts, he doesn't reference the standard of the day. He references Jesus' standard. And Jesus didn't say, give an equal measure to what you've received. Jesus said, it is better to give than receive. It's better to give than receive. Give to those who cannot give you anything. That's radical generosity, isn't it? Radical. And if we were observing the life of Jesus, we see this generosity. It wouldn't be shocking to us. Jesus said, greater love lays down their life. The definition of being a disciple, the way people will know, Jesus said, that you belong to me is by the magnitude of your love, the magnitude of your generosity. I think of generosity, I think of Poppy, is what I called him. His name was Charles, but I called him Poppy. He was my grandpa. and he's no longer here on this earth, but I think of generosity and I think of him. At his funeral service, his memorial service, there were so many stories about his generosity, stories about how for many years he had dreamed about having a candy apple red convertible, you know? And so later in life, he had got one of those and fixed it all up and had people come and help him, and he got it all fixed. And I just noticed one day when I came, I felt like he had just fixed it up and then it was gone. And I asked him, and he wouldn't even tell me what happened. He kind of, oh, and my grandma told me later. As soon as he got it, as soon as he had fixed it up, he heard about some needs within the church and missions, and he just felt called to auction it off and give it to missions. Now, why do I tell you that story? Not because it's bad to have a cool car. He just had this DNA. At his service, so many people stood up and talked about the many times where he would go out. My grandma said he would go out, and he would never leave the house without 20 bucks in his pocket. Now, that's probably good in case you get stranded or kneecapped. But that wasn't the reason he had $20 in his pocket, because he was convinced every single day he was going to meet someone who needed that $20 more than him. And it was like a guide in his life. It was what he did. It was how he wanted to be generous in all that he did. There was a lot about my poppy that from a worldly perspective, is not that admirable. He was not the most eloquent speaker. He was not the most gifted physically in all these different characteristics, but he was one of the most generous people I ever met. Generosity. In this series, we're focusing on two specific regrets. Two specific regrets that at the end of our life, and we would be tempted to view these as separate. I would have loved more deeply, okay, I'm thinking about that over here. I would have given more generously, but the truth is these regrets are not that different. They're much more connected than we realize. This radical generosity is deeply connected to a love of God and a love of people. When my poppy was generous, it was because he understood. He had this deep love for his heavenly Father and for every single person he came in contact with. And so because of that, he was just generous. He was generous. Jesus showed us specifically one truth. In God's economy, now we live in man's economy, right? And we live every day operating in man. So this is a challenge. Sometimes we have to step back and say, well, what is God's economy? What does God's word say? But God's economy operates a little bit different than ours, doesn't it? And in God's economy, listen to this truth. Generosity is much more about the why than the what. I'm going to say that again because this is hard. This is hard for us when we live in man's economy and we try to tune our brains to God's economy. In God's economy, generosity is much more about the why than the what. And you say, what does that mean? Jesus showed us specifically. Everything I've done is to get us to Luke 21. So if you would hop there with me for a minute, we're just going to look at the first four verses. Jesus gives us a powerful illustration of generosity in the kingdom of God. A powerful illustration about how generosity is much more about the why than the what. We make it about the what, but God is much more concerned about the why. And here's the story. You might be familiar with it. In Luke 21, Jesus is going to tell this powerful illustration. He's not going to tell it. He's going to recount it. But right before this, at the end of chapter 20, he's speaking about a kind of greed, particularly among the religious leaders, among those in the church that should have been seen as the leaders of the day in the church. But there was a kind of greed, and so now he's going to present this picture in four simple verses. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 21. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. And he also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Pause with me for a minute and understand. Immediately, we're faced with kind of this extreme, right? Immediately, Jesus sees this happening. He's going to take advantage of this kind of teaching moment. Parents, you have those, right? You know this. So this is a teaching moment for Jesus. And we have two extremes, right? The rich and the wealthy, those who have a lot, and they're giving. And immediately, from the world's economy, we would say, look, that's generosity. Look at them coming and they're giving it back to God. Wow, that's incredible. Now the contrast, right? The opposite end of the spectrum. The one who seemingly has no part in this picture of generosity, right? The widow. She has nothing. Forget the fact that she has nothing. She really is nothing. That society in the day, she has no rights. She has no claim to anything. Her future is very much in doubt because she's a poor widow. And yet, she becomes a part of the story. Look, in original Greek, what she gives, it's referred to in the Greek as a lepton, which may mean nothing to you, but that word, the root of that word, literally means I fail. So culturally, what she's giving is the equivalent of failure. It's that small. It's that insignificant. It's a failure, right? But look at the next two verses of the story. Jesus stops in this teaching moment and says, "Very truly, I tell you, the poor widow has put in more than all the others." All of these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. If generosity was about the amount, if generosity was about the what, which is what we do, in our economy, right? In our way of thinking, we make generosity about the what. How much do I have to give? What is the right amount? We make it about the what. And if it's about the what, then this story has no business in Scripture, because this would be a totally different picture. But Jesus takes this moment to paint a very different picture, to redefine what generosity is. Because generosity is not about giving out of some place of comfort or great wealth, but out of a place of trust, out of a place of complete devotion, of total worship. I was so moved as we just sang the song that we sang, "All that I've ever wanted, my heart has found in you." What an incredible declaration that is, right? And I think the poor widow would have been singing that song as she brought her gift that day to the Lord. When we give generously, you know what we're actually doing? We're letting go of attachments. Letting go of attachments that could limit our ability to experience true freedom. Because the truth is, our stuff has the ability to imprison us, doesn't it? I say biblically all the time, it's not wrong to have stuff, but it's wrong for our stuff to have us. And generosity is actually about demonstrating freedom. This poor widow is demonstrating incredible freedom because of this deep love and this deep devotion and this deep trust in God. She is free. She's free. The issue is not the what, but the why in generosity. See, I actually believe this topic matters a lot for us today. And anytime we talk about generosity, there's this collective kind of in the crowd, you know, like, oh, here we go, man. The church wants my money. I knew it. I told her if we came to this church soon enough, he was going to get up there and start begging for money. And man, I'm just telling you, you're wrong. You're wrong today. I want to tell you something I really believe today. We've experienced a global, like you, we've all been going through it, you know. And I've learned, I knew already, but I've really learned that we really believe that this is God's church, it's his ministry, and God's going to take care of us. So if you think today is about me kind of browbeating you or trying to push you or coerce you into giving to this local church, you're just wrong. That is not my heart today at all. I actually believe this topic of generosity is about so much more than that. I believe as I was writing and preparing these words, I think this is almost like a prophetic moment for us. Right now in our world, there is a battle raging. And if you're familiar with your scripture, if you read the word, you know the battle is not really against who you think it is. Because the battle, what we see right now, is people constantly divided and constantly pick your side and whose side are you on. That's what the battle we see. But the battle that's really happening is beneath the surface, a spiritual battle. And we are more divided and more isolated, and anxiety is overwhelming around us. I don't have to tell you because you're living it. And in the midst of the battle, you know what makes it worse? We get so distracted or so consumed, or so focused. You know what happens in times of chaos? Or we get focused more and more on me, and solely on what we want and what we need, and maybe rightly so for a season. During a global pandemic, we're worried about me, my health, my family, and I get that. But the problem is, if that continues to be our focus, then we miss out on something, and I believe I believe in preparing for this season. I had this thought, it shook me a little bit. As we reflect a little bit on where we are right now in our world and what's been going on around us, there's a lot of thoughts, right? There's a lot of looking back over this past year and reflecting. But I had this thought. I wonder in a few years as we look back and we remember people hoarding toilet paper. Now we're out of gas. People fighting about masks. All these crazy things that have happened, right? I wonder if we're going to look back on the year 2020 and 2021. I wonder, church, if we're going to look back and say, I wish I would have loved more deeply. I wonder if our greatest thought looking in the rearview mirror is not going to be, oh, how sad that and how miserable that was and how disruptive. I wonder if our greatest regret is going to say, man, I wish I would have been more generous. I wish I hadn't gotten so focused on me. I wish I hadn't gotten so lost. And look, I understand being lost in this season of all the chaos and confusion, but I wish I hadn't gotten so distracted. I wish I could have been more generous. I wish I could have had a heart for others. In some ways, church, I feel the Holy Spirit kind of shaking me and saying, Adrian, wake up. Wake up. This matters. This matters. That's why this topic today matters. That if we can get our eyes fixed, not on ourselves, but on the God who loves us, and out of that deep love, a spirit of generosity rises up within us. In every single relationship and every single person that we encounter, a spirit of generosity flows out of us. I got to tell you, I think that's what the people in my life need right now. I think that's what the disrupted people on my social media feed need right now. A spirit of generosity, radical generosity. Generosity that causes people to wait and say, what is wrong with her? In Acts 2, the Jesus followers were so passionate about pursuing the cause of Christ, they couldn't help radical generosity just flowed out of them. The question is, can the same be said of us in the year 2021? I'm going to be super practical for a few minutes because I think when we talk about this, I have to be. I just want to ask you the question today, where is the Lord inviting you to be more generous in your life right now? Every single one of us right now. And listen, students, young people, you might, I don't have anything. Yeah, you do. All of us have something in our lives that we can be generous with. God has given us. Here's the truth. We believe, James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift in my life is from him. Every good and perfect. So if we believe that's true, then you absolutely today have something that you can be generous. Because generosity is not about the what, is it? It's about the why. And if he's in charge and we trust him and we love him with awe, then our heartbeat is, I want to be generous. So today, if generosity is ultimately about your heart, how's your heart? I want to respond by highlighting some ways. As a church, listen, we practice generosity because I'm going to be honest with you, I have to practice it. I'm not super generous on my own. When I roll out of bed in the morning, my first thought is not, how can I be generous today? It's not, okay? That's not me. In fact, embarrassingly, I kind of like my stuff, and I don't like sharing it. I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm not good at this. So I have to practice generosity. And I want to close today by just highlighting some ways as a church that we practice it. Because we're not great at it sometimes. And in our nature, and in the economy of man, if left to we're going to constantly focus on me, me, me. I want. And so God constantly invites us to say, practice generosity. So I'm going to highlight briefly two ways. Lots of ways, but two main ways. The first is we give. And actually, here's what I want you to hear as a church. We believe as a church that we are called to give to others. That we believe as a church. God has called us and invited us. I counted in the last 6 months. These are just some of the nonprofits that God has invited us, I believe entrusted us as a church to be generous towards in our community. I just made a brief list, and this isn't all of them. AvaCare, and Open Doors, and Habitat for Humanity, and New Creation, and Stonehaven, and at least four different elementary schools partnering within. Just in the last few months, these are not like, oh, look at us. No. This is our heart as a church that we want to be a generous church. And to some extent, if you're not buying the generosity thing, you're going to be miserable here because it's just who we are. And it's who we believe God's called us to be. That when opportunities come, our first thought is not, why, we can't do that. Why can't, no, our first thought is how can we do something? Because God has invited us to practice generosity. And we believe as a church he's entrusted us to be generous in our community. And so we're grateful. We're grateful the kingdom's bigger than us. So we give. We give outside of these walls. How else do we practice generosity? We invite you. Yes, it's true. We invite you to give back to the Lord through the ministry of this church. I say giving to the Lord. We actually believe that's true. We believe when we invite you to give, we take very seriously in this church that it's not our money. This is the Lord's. It's not my ministry. It's the Lord's. It's not my church. It's the Lord's. And so we take very seriously. But when we invite you to give, we are inviting you to practice generosity. If we believe every good and perfect gift in my life is the Lord's, then we're just inviting you to entrust him, to give him. So let me just highlight, and we don't ever do this, okay? But I just feel like on a day like this, it's so important for me to be practical and to share some of these things. I want to invite three regular ways that we as a church give. Three ways. Maybe you've heard of these, maybe you haven't, but three ways. The first is what we call the general fund, okay? And what does that mean? It's a big fancy word that just means all the ministry of our church. Keeping the lights on, keeping the air on, keeping ministry happening to all generations here is through the general fund. And so every week, faithful people in this church practice generosity by saying, I'm going to tithe. That's a biblical word, and we're not going to get into all that today. But in the YouVersion event, I linked to a specific message I preached just on that concept of biblical tithing. And when we do that, we're giving a tithe, the tenth back to God, and saying, God, you have given me so much. You've been so generous to me. I want to give back to you. And today, you're surrounded by people that actually believe that. God, I'm going to be generous, and I'm going to give back to you. So some of us, maybe we're not there yet. We're not ready to tithe, but an offering. And listen, do you know what an offering is not? An offering is not like a tip. Like, oh, okay, God, this week was pretty good. All right, you deserve a 20. Yeah, that's not it. An offering is not kind of like the leftovers, like you're pulling and you got no cash and you're just throwing. That's not an offering is like the widow, right? She gave generously. It's really not about the what, but about the why. It's a heart that just says, God, I want to be generous. And so when we give our tithes or our offerings to the general fund, you're helping ministry continue here because God has been so generous to us, and we want to be a part of something bigger than me, right? And that's what we get the privilege of doing in community in a local church. There's two other ways. I'm going to highlight them real briefly that we give regularly at this local church. The next, we call it World Evangelism Fund, and that is exactly what it sounds. It's about evangelism to the world. Right now, the Church of the Nazarene is in 163 world areas. 212 languages this morning are being spoken at the Church of the Nazarene. And what's the good news in that is it's not about us. It's not just about what we're doing here. God invites us to be a part of something so much bigger to us. And when you give, some of us give above our tithes and offerings and say, I want to give to help support the mission of the church in the world. Because God so loved the world, and I want to be a part of that. And so some people practice generosity by saying, I want to be a part of that. One more way, we call it our capital fund. I want to pause for a minute and celebrate something. About a year ago, more than a year ago, people in this church had been faithfully giving for years and years and years. And one week before a global pandemic would hit, the Lord allowed us to practice generosity by paying off the mortgage on this building that we are sitting in a building today that is debt-free. And that is glory to God and people practicing generosity. It's okay to celebrate that, I think. Some of us are excited about that. It's okay. We're not patting ourselves on the back. Yeah, good job. No. God, thank you. You're so generous. Look what you did. And now because of that, we get to sit in a building that we don't have debt. Praise the Lord. But moving forward, we're in a building. It's breaking down and things are happening. So there are some of us in the room that feel called to be generous, to make sure that the needs of the church can continue, that the building can continue to be used. And you're going to hear more about that in the coming months. Another way that we can practice generosity by making sure that the local ministry of this campus can continue in its form. But wait, there's more. Oh, wait, there's more. Because what did I say? Generosity is not about the what, but the why. Some of us, this part is kind of easy. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to step on some toes for a minute. Some of us, writing a check, giving out, that's easy for us. But you know what's way harder for some of us? Being generous by serving. Some of us can give and it doesn't cost us that much. Now, some of you in the room, it costs you a lot. And that's between you and the Lord, but thank you for your obedience and your generosity. But for some of us, the most costly way that we can be generous is through serving. Because for some of us, the most valuable resource we have, the scarcest resource in our lives is not money, but time. We never have enough of it. So when we serve, what we're saying, it's not just about me, and it's not just about what I have going on, and not just about my calendar and my to-do list. I'm going to make it about others. I'm going to serve. And we practice being generous when we serve. And that happens every day, every week through this local church. It's not the only way we serve. But every week, every day, when someone serves in Kids City or with our students in 3D or they're waving at you in the parking lot, right? Or they're feeding our community through Hope Distributed. What are we doing? We're practicing generosity by serving, by saying it's not just about me. I want to bless others. I want to serve others. This is a shameless plug, but in 3 weeks, we're having best week ever. Why in the world would we do that? Just because we're bored and we want to do something in the summer? No. For 1 week a year, we want to challenge every single person in our church to practice the generosity of serving. For 2 hours, for one afternoon, for one morning, from your home, however you can, we believe every single person needs to practice generosity by serving. And so we set up 1 week of the year that we can go all in. No excuse. Let's do it. We've got this. Let's be generous. But you know what else gets me excited? Really excited. That the ways that we're generous through serving doesn't just happen here. Some of you are generous in your community as you love your neighbors who are hard to love sometimes. Some of you are generous as you're out in the community looking eye to eye with people that have been on the front lines of a pandemic trying to serve, trying to help others, and you're generous. That there are thousands of ways every single day that we could be generous by serving one action, one word, one attitude at a time. And so church, I want to invite you into something. I want to make 2021 a summer of generosity. A summer of generosity. It's not about the what. So if that's, if you're immediately going there, calm down with that, okay? For the next 3 months, maybe you say, I'm not ready, I don't know. I would just say, hey, for 3 months, for 90 days, Would you challenge the Lord in this? Would you say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't feel like I've got anything to give or to be generous with, but I have a heart. God, it's not about the what, it's about the why. And my why today is I have a heart that I want to be generous. And I want to trust you. And I want to hold anything back from you. And so for the next 90 days, Lord, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to ask this question, God, every day when my feet hit the floor for the next 90 days, God, how can I be generous today? I got to tell you, as I've been out and about and shopping and, you know, we can see more of people's faces now. It's good. You know what? Well, number one thing I've been trying to do to be generous, I'm smiling like crazy. Some people are probably scared at how much I'm smiling. I'm wearing people out with my smile. Until they look at me, they're like, oh, no. But I'm telling you, for me, it's generosity. That's what there's a spirit in that. I want people to know, I see you. Thank you. There's love here. And I don't stop and say that every time. That would really freak him out. But I'm just telling you, I'm sensing the Lord inviting me to generosity, even the spirit in which I interact with people I don't even know. I got to tell you today, church, what the world around us desperately needs is to stop focusing so much on me, me, me. And saying, God, how can I be generous? Some of us today are hurting. Some of us today don't feel like we've got a lot. Some of us today, you're in a brutal season of your life. Even you today, I think you have something to be generous with. If you would ask the Lord, how can I be generous? I think he's got something to say even to you. So church, would you have the courage? Would you have the courage to join me for 90 days? I can't wait to see what God does. I can't wait to see what God does through your kids and your family and in your community and your workplace by you just pray and do what God says. Just do what God says. A summer of generosity. there's a song that I've been singing a lot in these days, and I jam out in the car with my youngest because she doesn't know that I'm not cool enough to do that. My other kids tell me, Dad, that's not cool. But my youngest, she's just four, so she thinks it's cool. So there's a song that I can't get out of my brain, and I couldn't get out of my brain this week. We've sung it before, and we're going to sing it in a minute. It's really more of a prayer. And it goes like this: Christ, be magnified in me. On the altar of my life, you know, today, every single one of us, there's an altar for our lives. And the choice today is what's on your altar? Is your idea of generosity, God's, here's what I can do. I don't know. I got to hold on to my stuff. And but the truth is, when it's all said and done, and your last breath is me, it's all going back in the box. So today, maybe like me, your heart says, God, here I am. Here's the altar of my life. I want you to be magnified in my life. That's what generosity does. It's not magnifying us, because it's not about the what, it's about the why. And the why is, there's a God who loves me and he loves you, and I want his generosity to spill over into every part of my life. Would you stand with me now? God, make us a people. Make us a people who have your heart. Put your heart within our heart. Some of us, Lord, we need a heart transplant. And today we would invite you. We would invite you to make our lives less about us and more about you. On the altar of our life today, Lord, we give you permission to search us and know us. And Lord, whatever it is that needs to be there, we want to magnify you. We want generosity to spill over into every interaction and every conversation and every opportunity. We want to be a generous people because you are a generous God. We love you.
Thank you so much for listening today. You can email us at info@cotnaz.org for any questions about our church. When you're done listening, please subscribe to this channel for the latest updates and new episodes.